Welcome to The Educated Investor, brought to you by the Householder Group Estate and Retirement Planning. At Cishon Financial, Regional Vice President David Cishon takes a proactive approach to helping you develop a strategy to address your financial goals and objectives using the most efficient methods available. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley and David Cishon.
And we would like to welcome you to The Educated Investor. As mentioned, my name is Scott Whatley, and we are glad once again you are starting your week off with us. And it's always good to have Regional Vice President of the Householder Group, David Cishon, with us. David, happy Monday, if there is such a thing.
Of course, Scott, there's always a happy Monday.
Yes, sir. All right.
You know, we used to have a lot more happy Monday.
Yes, sir. I'm telling you. Boy. You know, man, who thought we'd be entering another year now back with a new variant, I guess, of this virus. And, man, it's just crazy.
Well, it really is. And, you know, I just had a client come in for review, and she just said, my goodness, I am sick and tired of these masks. And now they want me to put it back on when I go to certain places. And,
I know.
And, boy, it's just getting tedious. And she says, what they ought to do, now, I don't necessarily agree with all these things that my clients say, but she says what they ought to do is penalize those people that don't have the vaccine or the follow-ups or whatever shots they're supposed to get, and that, therefore, you know, we won't have to wear our masks all the time.
Right.
And you know, we all have opinions on those things.
Sure.
But it's really getting a bit much, and you know, I just hope, as a number of my clients have said to me, that once this pandemic really does settle down or gets eliminated, you know, that we don't put ourselves in this position going forward ever again.
Mm-hmm. No,
we've got
absolutely
a lot of smart people in this country and a lot of money.
Yes, sir.
And you would think that we shouldn't be in this position.
I know. I don't know if you caught some of the college games over the weekend. Boy, there were some great ones. But, you know, some of those stadiums, 115,000, 120,000 people, and I don't know.
Oh.
TV showed a lot of them, and no masks, so, man.
I know. Well, hopefully they're all vaccinated and
yeah,
life is okay.
No doubt. No doubt. For sure.
We'll see.
For sure. And we do hope everyone did have a very good Thanksgiving holiday there. And before we know it, in a few weeks, hey, it'll be Christmas time, and then we'll all be saying Happy New Year. So, wow.
Yeah, and it starts all over again. And the only thing about this, you look back on this year and the prior year when the pandemic started, and you say, it's already been almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they go? Where did they go, Scott?
I know. It seems like a twilight zone we've been in the last 2 years, for sure.
Oof.
Now, has the role, and we'll get into our topic here in just a second, has the has this, all this variant news, has that stirred the stock market a little bit?
Well, you know, every time there's a burp somewhere across our land, the stock market reacts. And based on the fact, I think, that we have no cooperation in Washington, that it just compounds it. You know, so like last Friday, we're going to go down Dow and down 900 points.
Right.
Now, that sounds like a lot. But, you know, it's not a terrible lot when you got 35, 36,000 on the Dow. It's a knee-jerk reaction to this new virus, and the market does that, you
mm-hmm.
know. And yet today, now it's up 300 back up, you know. So we're going to see this volatility no matter what, until things get very stable, which means healthcare gets more stable. We get rid of this mess somehow. Companies are earning good money, so they're being stable. People, for whatever reason, the ones that need to and want to go back to work, go back to work, so that when we go to a restaurant, we don't have to wait an extra half an hour because they can't have anybody that serves you.
Oh, no.
You know, so it's going to have to be stability. Until that happens, you know, we're going to see this volatility in the market no matter what happens when something happens that perceives as negative. and it probably last all through next year.
Sure. Yeah, I was by one of my sponsors today, an auto dealer, and four new cars on the lot.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that a shame?
A large lot.
Yeah. Well, I can only imagine. I've heard that from others. And in fact, last night we were watching some show, and I said to my wife, Paula, I said, you know, here's they're saying, you know, put your orders in. We have plenty of new cars arriving. Now, obviously, this is an older ad.
Right. Yes. Yes, it is.
Not arriving.
Yeah.
You know? Not arriving.
Wow. All right. We're going to talk about something today that, boy, David, I love your term on this, the silent embezzler.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a topic that has come to the forefront. It's always a topic of interest, especially as you progress towards retirement, and then certainly in retirement, and that's the term inflation. People have a tendency not to want to address it. And, of course, the reason that it's come up now is because we've had this significant increase in inflation currently because of the pandemic, because of supply chains, because we're spending money. We were pent up for the last year and a half not spending money. And now we're seeing prices increase because of those shipping concerns and delivery, and our appetite has surpassed our supplies in many areas. So we've got in the last, well, I don't know, maybe in the last 12 months, through at least through October, we're up over 6% on inflation. And some areas are up 15 and 20, and used cars 25. So inflation is a topic, and it's getting more print in the papers because on the short term, not a big deal. But now they're saying that maybe it's not a short-term increase. Maybe it's considerably longer until things stabilize. You know, our average inflation over the past, I think it's like 120 years, is averaged about 4%. And maybe slightly higher, but 4% inflation. And that's okay. As long as you're earning to protect your purchasing power more than that 4% after taxes. And, you know, people are very concerned. I've got several calls. You know, what can we do to counter inflation going forward? And there are things that people can do, but I thought I'd just do a little review.
Sure.
Of what we're facing here with this inflationary factor. You know, I call it, you know, an incurable disease because it's always there.
Right.
And it's always eroding our purchasing power and our retirement benefits, regardless of whether we're getting a pension from a company or Social Security or both. Okay. So when we look at inflation, we can't keep our head in the sand. We have to address it. Like I said, on the short term, it's not a big deal. But on longer terms, over years, it really cuts in to what we can buy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had Social Security, and I encourage people that can to not take Social Security if they're married, at least on one of the higher paid spouses, to age 70. So you maximize your Social Security benefit in an attempt to help cover for these rising costs and also as a death benefit, if you will, for the surviving spouse. So try to maximize those benefits with Social Security. And of course, as you may know, the government, in their infinite wisdom and consideration of all of our tax-paying people, have adjusted Social Security up to 5.9% increase. starting the new year. And that's the highest, of course, in 40 years.
Right.
And people think, oh, that's good. That's good. And it is good. It's very helpful. But you have to realize a couple of things. The rates of increase that we see across the board in other areas eat up this kind of Social Security bonus that we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Cost of living over the past, let's say, 20, 21 years has raised Social Security benefits by 50%. So, you know, that sounds good on the surface. But when you stop and consider that over that same 20, 21 years, housing costs have increased 118%.
Yeah. Doesn't take long. You don't have to be a real mathematician there, do you?
No. You go right to the head of the class. And healthcare costs have risen over 145%. You know, Social Security benefits over this period of time with COLAs and so forth, Social Security benefits has lost nearly one-third of their buying power, 32% since 2000. And what that means is that you can't buy the same goods that you take home in that grocery bag with the same dollars. You're going to lose 32% purchasing power, so that bag is going to be a third less full for the same dollars you're spending. And it's only going to get worse.
I know.
As time goes on, you know, people, that's why I say to people, you know, you got to pay attention to this, not in the short term, but, you know, just 10 years, remember Y2K was in the year 2000, right?
Sure.
And Y2K, so that's 21 years ago. Well, where'd those 21 years go? Went by really quickly for most everybody. So if someone is living on $5,000 and we just have 3% inflation, not 6, in 10 years, your $5,000 purchasing power can only buy $3,720 worth of goods. You've lost 25% of your purchasing power. So this is why inflation has to be in someone's vocabulary. Not to overreact to it, but when people, in fact, Senior Citizens League did a study recently, and they found that 44% of those that answered the survey spend between $160 and $495 a month just on health care.
Wow.
That's just on health care.
Yeah.
So again, inflation is an important thing. And so, you know, people will sometimes ask me, well, jeepers, well, what can we do about this? Well, first of all, you got to pay attention. You have to understand that. And then you can look at, if you're not retired yet or if you're not taking Social Security, let's look at when you should start taking it based on your particular circumstance and situation. Again, we may find that at least one of the participants in the household can wait to age 70 to maximize Social Security benefits and maximize a death benefit for surviving spouses. But again, we have to be aware of our expenses, and we have to do a review once a year, even if it's mentally and not in writing. Okay, what are we spending it? What are we spending it on? And how much income do we have coming in? And how much do I have to invade the principal of my investments to cover these costs? And so we encourage, especially this time of the year, if the end of the year is coming, and I know holidays are around, but we have people coming in every day to do a quick review,
right,
and to get ready for the new year.
Absolutely. And it's an ideal time, really. I mean, you know, because like you say, the holidays are around the corner and a lot of things are slowing down a little bit. And so, boy, to be able to come in and sit down, because Dave, one thing, without a plan, and just hearing what you've said in the first 15 minutes here, I don't know how anybody thinks they're going to have success in retirement without a plan.
Well, you know, it's just that they have to be aware of all of these little pickpocketers that come into play. And it's just not inflation, although inflation is an important part. Just think of what the government can do to us. You know, if someone is living on $4,000 a month and they're okay and everything is going along fine, and then all of a sudden the government steps in and raises our 22% tax bracket to 32%, or raises our 10% lowest tax bracket to 20% like they did in the 60s, all right, and then factor in inflation, all right, you could easily lose 25 to 35% of your cash flow. Forget about what it can buy, but could lose 25 to 35% of your cash flow immediately. That would have a significant effect on your financial throat. Mm-hmm. It'll tighten up incredible.
Right.
So again, that's why we want to see with our clients, okay, you understand inflation is there. What can we do? What should we be doing? Well, simple things, for example, we could put more money into a 401k or a Roth or health savings account if we want before the end of the year, or get ready to put more away in the following year. We could look at things like, well, treasury inflated protected securities, these they call them TIPS, for example, where you can buy a bond from the government and it increases the yields you get on it based on inflation. I mean, it's not a big item or a big deal, but it's a tool. There's also floating rate kinds of bonds and securities that just simply increases the distribution you get every month, depending on what inflation is doing. So again, it's a hedge. It's kind of, well, it's something, because quite honestly, if your monies are sitting in a savings account, which you're safe, or in a bank checking account or certificates of deposit, they are safe, but they're certainly not going to keep up with purchasing power if inflation stays at 6% or even drops to 3% when you're only getting paid 1%.
Yes, sir.
It will have that negative, that kind of negative effect. And so, good time to review these kinds of things and have a game plan that maybe you have to change some of these dollars that you have over here or there to be more responsive to inflation, and then also combination with taxation. Where what can we do if we need to mitigate the taxes? So again, you have more in your pocket than the federal government does.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Educated Investor once again with Regional Vice President David Cishon of the Householder Group. Their number, 720-482-1917. It is a free initial consultation. And, hey, that second opinion, we've talked about it for a few years now with David, and maybe not just to get a look at things, but then just to take a second look at it and just to see. And David always say it's a win-win thing to me, because it's kind of like going to a doctor. Hey, if you get a second opinion and they say, hey, we agree with the other doc, you're on the good path, then that's a good feeling. And if not, they go, whoa, here's a couple of things we can do to really help you and put some more money in your pocket. That's a win-win.
Well, it is, you know. And again, people's experience in the past, however, makes them a little reluctant, but they can rest assured here that they won't have those same concerns of somebody coming in under false pretenses and then whipping out some sort of investment scheme that may or may not be beneficial to them. That's not what we do here. Education is a key. And in financial planning, you know, there are those five areas that people have to look at and address each year. It's just that right now inflation is one of those on everybody's mind because they're seeing in the paper the rising costs for everything.
Everything.
Whether it's food or computers or whatever the case might be. So you know, what should we do for a plan of attack short term, maybe 1 to 3 years or 1 to 2 years, intermediate, maybe 2 to 5 or 3 to 7, you know, depending, so forth and so on. Because going out farther than that, in our economic scenario and times, is very, very difficult. Nothing stays the same very long.
That's for true. And I tell you, man, just pulling up to a gas pump these days is painful.
Well, yeah, unless you happen to own a lot of stock in the oil companies, you know, and they're paying good dividends. But no tree goes to the sky. And, yeah, we're paying a lot. And the government's infusion of 50 million barrels of oil or whatever it was that they sounds good, but I'm told it only lasts 3 days.
I started to say, I think that might have got us a Monday through Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, this is, again, why we have to be aware of not only what inflation is, but what is there lingering in the background that could even make the inflation more painful than it normally would be. And I'm referring to, you know, what the government is trying to come up with their new taxation program. That is in its lowest form for the last 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, right now, as I review with folks, I just tell them to remember that we've got so much in debt in our country and so much money that we owe, these different types of unfunded liabilities and so forth. It's just tremendous because it's in the trillions. And what do you think the government is going to do to help resolve it? The biggest thing is we're in such a low tax bracket. Remember, someone earning like $110,000 today with standard deductions, family of four, you know, they're in the 12% tax bracket. If this was 1980, you'd be in the 43% bracket.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between 43 and 12 is a lot of room for Uncle Sam to say, time out on 2025, if not sooner. I got to raise these tax rates across the board.
Sure. And, you know, you mentioned it. Man, if you just take the medical side of things as we all age and different health issues come up, and again, I don't know how we're ever going to get all this medical stuff and insurance and cost of things, you know, under some kind of control. Of where it's just, I mean, I've seen people go in a hospital to an emergency thing for 24 hours and come out with, you know, $50,000, $60,000 bills.
Well, yeah. In fact, I know one person that's going in for a rotator cuff, and they said that the gross amount, I don't know what kind of discounts they give them or anything, but it's $55,000. He's in for a day and a half.
Now, wow.
It seems like a little excessive. And especially when you think about the average citizen, Social Security benefit is like, I don't know, a little less than $1,500 a month. I think it's like $1,480 or somewhere in there. But
wow.
When you consider that most people are spending between $160 and $495 a month just on health care, that doesn't leave much to pay for housing or food or
prescriptions and all the different things.
Prescriptions,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like unbelievable.
Hmm.
And that's why I say to people, we can't just discount it and throw it out the window and not pay attention to it, because it will come back to haunt us. And, you know, as another way of looking at it and understanding inflation is that if you're living on $5,000 a month in 10 years, only at 3%, you better have $6,700 coming in instead of the five. That's just to keep pace.
Sure.
And in 20 years, like I said, 20 years, Y2K, you need over $9,000. So $5,000, you rose to $9,000 in 10 years. I mean, yeah, in 20 years, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So So, again, we have to be aware of this. We have to look at it. We don't have to overreact to it, but it's something that we have to pay attention to because it's your money. It's your cash flow. It's your pension. It's your Social Security. And how much do you want to give to Uncle Sam? Mm-hmm. More than you've already given.
Wow.
And we got to pay our fair share. Don't get me
sure,
wrong.
Sure. Absolutely.
But still, we don't have to be overly patriotic, do we?
No, for sure. Again, folks, hey, I know this sounds pretty bleak, but let's be honest. Hey, it can be, and we don't know what the future holds over the next 6 months, much less 6 years. But this is a perfect time to give David a call, 720-482-1917. Just mention you heard him here on the Educated Investor, and they'll get you in. And, hey, if you're more comfortable with a Zoom kind of call, they can do that. But I tell you what, an in-person visit would be very valuable for you to sit down with David and kind of look at what you've got going on and see if there are some changes that could be made here in this calendar year that would be of help to you. So, David, as always, great information, sir. And we will look forward to our visit next week.
Thanks, Scott. Have a great week for
you. All right, you as well. That is David C. Shawn, once again, Vice President of the Householder Group. Their number is 720-482-1917.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. We'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. KLZ's personal injury attorney continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886.
Now's the time to get into the Outdoorsman's Attic. It's truly a wall-to-wall sale. Sitka gear 25% off. All clothing, fishing gear, and packs 30% off. You'll find many items 30 to 50% off retail. Great deals on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, camper, hiker, or hunter in your family. Or bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic and turn it into cash. And if you're looking for a great handgun, rifle, or shotgun, get by the Outdoorsman's Attic. If your firearm needs a little work, see Scott the Gunsmith and tell him Scott at Sportsman Colorado Radio sent you. All at the Outdoorsman's Attic. Great service, great bargains, great gear. 2650 West Hampton.
KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
Hey, and we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. Again, my name is Scott Watley. We appreciate you being with us once again. Lindsay Williams joins us today, nutritionist there at Integrated Health Systems. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. All right, so tell me this. How do we gain like 5.5 pounds at Thanksgiving and you only eat 2 pounds of food? That irritates me. Wow. I wonder what the average gain is.
I don't know. I wondered that too. At one point I heard it was around 5 pounds in the weekend. But I did learn today that today is the last day to have your leftovers. So if you haven't gotten through them, they need to go.
Gotcha.
They will have foodborne illnesses and make you sick, and then you'll wonder why you're in the restroom trying to lose that 5 pounds you just gained.
No doubt. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about today, just, hey, staying healthy here through the final month of the year, and then also looking at, and Lindsay, I'll hit you something there I found, you know, thinking about, wonder what the biggest New Year's resolutions are, the ones that are most that most people put on their list. And I tell you, the first couple that I sent you, just what Google says, hey, is what we're going to talk a little bit about.
Yeah. It's, you know, the top one, two, they kind of flip-flop back and forth, but it's always lose weight, exercise more.
Yeah.
They're at least in the top five every year.
Sure.
For sure.
And then there's one, a couple of slots down, live life to the fullest. Well, it's hard to do that if you're carrying some extra pounds you don't need, right?
And you don't feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. Absolutely.
So what would be, everybody should get in your mind, hey, it's going to be January 1st instead of December 1st here in just a 2 days. So how do you go about just setting goals and trying to figure out something that's attainable? Because, you know, diets, just as the word, don't work. I mean,
absolutely,
for a long term. So how do we go about making this year different to where we can set some goals and stick to them?
That's a great question, because I think that's why everybody fails. Everybody's gung-ho in January, and come February, the gyms are back to being completely empty.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it starts with a mindset shift. So mentally preparing. If you set the same goal every year and you never reach it, then you need to figure out a new goal or a new way to reach the goal. So mentally preparing is one of them. And then setting a goal that actually motivates you. If your goal is to go run a marathon, but you hate running, how do you plan to get there that you're actually going to stick to, make it a priority, and that you feel good doing? If that's torture to you to go run, then setting a goal of running a marathon this year is probably not going to be very beneficial to you.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you could set a smaller goal of maybe I'm going to do a 3K or a 5K, or we're going to do it as a family, because that, you know, you get the family time, the quality time, and you're doing something active. So it's just setting things, goals or expectations that are actually realistic for you.
Right. And I think I've mentioned before, I do a show every week with a doctor in Dallas and a family medical doctor, and he kind of he doesn't really offer weight loss programs, but just a change of life and just, you know, like you say, really making a difference for long term.
Yeah.
But he's had great success with just telling people, hey, think of 10% of your current body weight and make that your goal.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even if you only lose a pound a week or 2 pounds a week, and let's say
which
you got to lose.
Completely healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then once you start seeing it and clothes start fitting better, and then just, you know, you feel better, you look better. And I tell you, you know, I've done some things here over the last few months, and boy, and I did blood work with Dr. Stedman, and man, I saw some numbers drastically change from cholesterol, like 199 to 161, you know?
Ooh,
I mean, I'm talking in, you know, less than 90 days. It really, really can make a difference.
Yeah, and then it motivates you to keep going, because there's nothing more defeating and negative feeling than I'm not making progress, and why would I continue this? So, yeah, finding something that drives you and pushes you and just feeling better will motivate you so fast to keep going and keep making changes. And I think one of the coolest ways to do that is to, you know, people put on their list for New Year's resolutions is pick a new hobby, learn something new. Well, that something new doesn't have to be, you know, how to speak Chinese. It could be, I'm going to take a kickboxing class or learn how to swim, or you make it something active, and now you're kind of killing two birds with one stone.
Right. Absolutely. Lindsay Williams is with us once again with Integrated Health Systems. Their number, 303-781-5617. And we always mention it is a free initial consultation. So here's the thing. Just don't put it off. I mean, I know it's hard during the holidays. And I mean, man, my wife bought pecan pie because that's my favorite, you know. But to be honest, I ate one piece of it. And I'm like, you know what? I've worked kind of hard at this and, you know, lost around 30 pounds. And I'm like, you know, it's just not worth it. I mean, I enjoyed the one piece. And then, you know what? The next day, the sun comes up. And I'm, you know, like I say, I did put on, I think it was 3.6 pounds to be exact. And so, and I'm still up 1.6 this morning. So I got to get back to where I was. But, it is just something where you've got to make good choices with food, which brings me my next topic is sometimes, you know, people think they're eating something healthy for them because it's, quote, a healthy food, but it may not be for their body, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Foods, you can go down a rabbit hole with food and nutrition, 100%. There are some basic guidelines to follow. You know, we want to eat whole, organic fruits, vegetables, meats, proteins, and stay away from anything processed, high in sugar, white foods, things like that. Those are some very generic food rules to follow. But what really matters is the consistency. You just said it. You had your one piece of pie. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the day, but then going back to your habits that you are consistently working at, and that's choosing food wisely. Food isn't good or bad necessarily, but it may be if your body's responding poorly to it. And sometimes when you drop a huge amount of weight, it's not necessarily fat weight that drops always. It can be just inflammation around foods that you're eating. That's the biggest piece is just being consistent. 80% of your weight comes from your nutrition. The other 20% comes from working out.
Okay. So that's a part we got to add, right? Eating right and exercise.
Absolutely.
And as you mentioned, you can't start off with going, okay, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and start running 3 miles a day. I mean, does walking have the same benefit as running, or is it the key just getting your heart rate up to burn fat?
The key is getting your heart rate up.
And that's going to be different. Is that rate going to be different for everybody? How do we figure out what that magic number might be?
Yeah, so it is. It's based on your age, your gender, your height, and your current weight, and it will help. There's calculators online that you can use to help figure out what your max heart rate should be and what a good range is for you to exercise in that section,
right,
so that you're actually getting your heart pumping and flowing. Because I can go for a 10-mile walk, but if I never get my heart rate up, I didn't do a whole lot for myself other than spend an hour trying to walk 10 miles.
Sure, sure. So are you most, I know you have a lot of knowledge on the exercise area, are you more into doing some things rather quickly, kind of some burst training, I guess they call it, or are you more into, you know, spending an hour at the gym?
That's a great question. I think everybody's different. I think realistically, getting an hour in the gym is really, really challenging for most people, mm-hmm. between family, kids, full-time jobs, multiple jobs. Getting an hour to yourself is almost impossible. I love HIIT workouts because you can do 20 minutes, 30 minutes, real crammed in, do a full body workout, get that heart rate up, and you can do that every day. You can find 10 minutes three times a day, or, you know, a 20-minute session, something like that, and you can make that work. Again, it's finding the expectation and what's reality for you. A single mom of four kids finding an hour every day is just not going to happen.
Sure. So how do you split it up between cardio and actually doing, you know, weights or things like that? So, I mean, should it be a 50-50 split in a workout, or should you spend more on cardio? How does that work?
I think a lot will have to do with age and gender. Old wives' tale was that, you know, as we get older, we shouldn't lift. We should be very careful and cautious and things like that. And what we're finding is that's totally inaccurate. Lifting weights, lifting heavy things is very, very important to maintaining bone health, muscle health, overall health. So weightlifting should be a big part of that. Now, whether you incorporate that into a cardio workout because you're not taking 5 minutes in between sets, you're cramming it in and kind of going from exercise to exercise, or putting multiple exercises together, meaning squats with a lunge, twist, and a lift all together, you can find different ways. So it's whatever works and is manageable for you. Mm-hmm. Obviously, don't jump into weightlifting at the heavy levels right off the bat because you will hurt yourself.
Sure.
But starting where you are and lifting heavy things is a good thing.
So what do most people, when they come in, I mean, I'm assuming you have some that just come in and they say, hey, I want to get with your nutritionist and, you know, figure out what I can do to lose weight and get healthier. But sometimes do people come in for some other issues, and then all of a sudden you do some blood work, you see some things, and then, you know, Dr. Stedman or Dr. Maynard mentions to them, hey, you need to visit with Lindsay to really make this a good thing for you.
Yeah, so a lot of times people come in, really common ones that we hear are fatigue, or malaise, or I just have constant body aches. I just don't feel like my old self. Those are kind of pretty top complaints that we hear from people. But then everything goes back to nutrition, and as much as we don't want to admit it, our blood sugar stabilization is the key, is the cornerstone, if you will, to just about every function in your body.
Right.
So hormones, iron, how your adrenals function, all of those play into blood sugar and vice versa. So if that blood sugar stabilization is off, and I'm not talking about being at the diabetic level, I'm not talking about being pre-diabetes, I'm just talking about how much your blood sugar elevates and dips throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
That creates stress on the body, and that will throw off other things, whether it's your adrenals, which is part of what helps you regulate hormones, but also helps you regulate energy and manage stress. And we're at the holidays, so everybody's adrenals are getting affected right now. We're tired, it's the end of the year, and everything's fast-paced, and here come the holidays.
Sure. And now with all the new, variants of this COVID thing coming back, we're coming back into, you know, some counties doing masks again. So I'm telling you, the stress levels are going to be right back
Absolutely.
To where we were, mm-hmm. right when we thought we were kind of getting to relax a little bit, right?
Yeah, exactly. So food and nutrition plays a huge role in helping you be able to manage all that stress.
So let's kind of walk through what an initial consultation looks like with you, and then what that follow-up is. Is it once a week, once a month, once every couple of weeks? How does that work?
Everybody's going to be different, but it definitely is a very in-depth, well, the consultation, I kind of get a feel for who you are, what your goals are, what you're looking for, and then we sit down, and it may just be an exam with just me and some lab work, depending on what you're looking for, or it may be the whole team that gets involved, and we do a really in-depth approach with you. And typically I start off meeting with somebody once a week for a good 6 weeks to kind of get you a solid foundation. There's a lot of questions. It can be a lot of change, and that can be scary and stressful in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of hold your hand for the first several weeks to get you kind of stable and on your own, and usually by then you're feeling so much better, you're like, I can do this.
Right.
And then we start to give you a little bit more rope, and we'll see you in a month or 3 weeks. And I have some patients who love that. They're like, yep, see, I'm out the door, I feel great. And others who are, can I still come in more often? And so it's teaching you the skills you need to maintain your health, because I shouldn't have to be here 24/7 to hold your hand, but maybe
sure,
that's what you need in the beginning to get your solid footing.
Right. Again, Lindsay Williams is our guest. Integrated Health Systems is the company. 303-781-5617 is the number. Now, we hear sometimes, you know, people using some different anti or just say diet suppressants and different things like that. Is that something that you guys integrate in some of your treatments as well?
Not usually appetite suppressants in any way, but
okay,
we do a lot of gut healing, which will shift how much of an appetite you have. Because as you shift the types of foods you eat, the little gut microbiota that you have, they change based on what you're eating. So if you're eating a lot of sugar, processed foods, things like that, they're going to crave those sugars and processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
And so you feel hungry all the time because you're really not getting nutrition. You're just getting calories. So as we shift that, your nutrition, your appetite tends to drop because the gut microbiota are going, oh, I got fed. I'm not hungry anymore. I
right,
don't need more food.
Yeah, and we've said this before, but we probably weren't really made to eat, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know,
right.
I mean, we really
right,
don't need that many meals. That's just the way we've all been planning to do it. So
yeah,
kind of doing this thing of picking your hours, we've talked about it before, is maybe it's 10 to 6 or 11 to 8, whatever, picking some time to eat there and then giving your body that rest. I think that's been proven pretty successful, hasn't it?
It has. It has. And what works, again, for one, some people, they call it time-restricted feeding or intermittent fasting. Some people do really well with not eating for a 12-hour period and then getting all their calories in. Some can go 18 hours. Some have a 4-hour feeding, I like to call it feeding or fueling window. But finding out what works best for you, that's kind of the cool little journey of the whole thing too.
And how much of this is really where you have to spend time on just teaching people about food labels, of what is in food and the number of servings? Because a lot of times, you know, packages will say, you know, you
yeah,
take a bag of chips or something, it'll say, you know, 160 calories. Well, that's 9 chips in the bag, you know. So really the package has 600 calories, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so how much of yours is your side is educating us all on just what labels mean?
I think just a good chunk of what I do is education. Probably 80 to 90% is straight education on food, breaking myths, breaking habits. Because you just didn't know any better. That's the way your mom, your grandma, your family always taught you. So, yeah, it's all education, and the rest is you putting it into practice and action.
Right. Once again, Lindsay Williams is our guest. She's a nutritionist there at Integrated Health Systems. Their number 303-781-5617. And we talked about being healthy, just kind of getting through these few weeks, and, you know, boy, if this new variant comes around and all the different things and – I mean, I could talk forever just about masks, all the things, and everybody has their own feelings on all that stuff. But I'm telling you, building your immune system, I wish some of our, quote, smart government doctors and all would just come on and just talk about how important it is to build your immune system and get in and do that.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever hear that from them. But, yeah, nutrition, exercise, and your immune system in general, your lifestyle can make a huge impact on how your body can fight things off, whether it's the new variant or not. All of those play, they're pivotal.
Mm-hmm.
They're pivotal in your health overall.
Sure. Now, are you still, you guys are, I know, doing very well with your IV therapy. a little bit. Take a minute and just talk, because I think that is something that can really get people through these next few weeks and into the new year healthy, is just coming by and checking out some of those.
Yeah, so I love IV therapy. I think it's a great way to get kind of mass doses, if you will, into your bloodstream, which goes directly to your cells, of vitamins, of maybe NAD, which helps boost energy and brain function. I love glutathione, which is the master antioxidant, which works really, really closely and is really important for your immune system. So just boosting all of that and doing it through an IV not only hydrates you and it goes directly into your bloodstream, but you're bypassing your gut. So if your gut is jacked up, which a lot of people don't realize it is, and it's unhealthy and it's leaky, you may not absorb all those nutrients going through your gut. And there's extra steps and things that are required to then get it to your cells. So this IV therapy, we can do IV or an injection, allows us to bypass that gut portion. And sometimes it allows you to feel the effect faster, if you will, which, again, you get that positive burst and that reinforcement early on. It kind of helps you want to keep going, and what else can I do to feel better faster?
Sure. Now, what's kind of the, is there a protocol really for these IV therapies? Is it something once a month? Is it something once every quarter? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, that's that can be an interesting conversation in itself. If you're just doing it to boost your immune system, to kind of keep yourself at a high level to ward stuff off, probably once a week is pretty satisfactory. If you've been exposed to something, or you feel really run down, or maybe you just are having a ton of stress, you can do it more than once a week. So it's kind of sometimes finding that balance too between budget and finances and time.
Sure.
For yourself to get in here and do that. Most IVs last 45 minutes plus. Depending on how quickly your body drinks it up.
Okay.
So
you need to set aside about an hour.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Once a week is a great place to start, too.
Right. All right. Again, Lindsay Williams is our guest, and you are listening to Your Health Matters, brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. So what success, or do you deal with couples sometimes where, like, you know, I know you have to deal with everybody on an individual basis, but it would seem like it's very hard if one person in the household is just eating everything they want, and then they're trying to cook for the other one, or the other one's trying to eat right. Does that sometimes work into some joint sessions?
It does. It does. I will tell you off the bat that the men always lose weight faster and more weight than the women, which can become a source of tension. But, you know, I kind of set that expectation at the front that this is the way it's going to go, so don't get mad at him. It's not his fault. Our physiology is just a little bit different enough that plays a huge role. But I love when couples do it together. You do it as a family because it helps push the person that was doing it originally to stay on track, to stay motivated. And that's really, really important, because when you don't feel supported, you'll quit, especially when it gets hard. So I love when people do it. And it doesn't always have to be a husband and wife or a significant other. I've had best friends come in and do it together. I've had girlfriend groups do it together. So it's kind of cool. And then it's fun, too, like when men can even do it as a competition, because men love competitions.
Yeah.
They make it, you know, between best friends or high school buddies.
Sure.
So it is kind of cool to do it with a support system.
All right. Last couple of minutes here, but in the role of supplements with good health, is that something that you is in your realm with as a nutritionist, or is that more on like Dr. Stedman's side or the medical side when they talk about adding supplements?
It's on my side because I'm a functional medicine nutritionist. I was educated in that. Straight registered dietitian nutritionist route doesn't necessarily always focus on supplements, but so there can be some lines that get blurred, if you will, but definitely supplements come in on my side. And then Dr. Stedman and Dr. Maynard also recommend supplements. And I think in our practice, we do a really good job of not going overboard, but also giving you what you need as a supplement.
Sure.
And we kind of keep that in mind, too, that they're meant to be temporary. It shouldn't be forever.
And, you know, and the reason why I brought up supplements, because, I mean, man, needless to say, it's a bazillion-dollar industry.
Yeah,
and you can get anything at any price you want. But just, I think people got to be careful of just what they take, just because it may have the word on there without knowing the ingredients, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the sad part about the industry is that it's not well-regulated. So you're right. I can always find something cheaper, but I don't know what I'm getting. Is my body actually absorbing it? And even with us, we prescribe what's called nutraceuticals, which is kind of the pharmaceutical grade supplement. And the same thing, you may respond completely different than I would to the same supplement.
Right.
So there's a lot more that goes into it than just picking up 10 bottles, 10 different vitamins at you know, Vitamin Cottage.
Right. Last couple of questions here, but are you seeing any more where parents are bringing children in for, you know, childhood obesity and things like that?
Not in my current practice,
okay.
But I do know other people that's kind of been their focus. It's very sad that it's come to this. But again, it's patterns and
sure.
behaviors that we just push down through the generations.
Mm-hmm. And one question I was going to ask you, and I forgot about this to right now, on your BMI, you want that to be under 30, and that's kind of a number for everybody, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Regardless of age or gender.
And how long will it usually take someone in a healthy way to go from, you know, let's say they got a BMI of 36 and they want to get it to 30. How long would, in a healthy way, would it take to get it from 36 to 30?
Height will play into this, and gender can play into this a little bit, too. So the average healthy way to lose weight is 2 pounds a week.
Hmm.
Anything faster than that, you may not keep it off. Anything slower than that, it's going to take you a long time to get where you want to go. But with that said, progress is progress.
Sure.
So if your body's doing it really slow, we'll take whatever your body's doing.
Absolutely. Well, Lindsay, always fun to visit with you. Thank you so much. If you would like to get an appointment with Lindsay, please give her a call today, 303-781-5617, Integrated Health Systems. And Lindsay, we appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you as well. Again, folks, hey, don't wait till January 1 to start getting healthy. Make that decision today and call 303-781-5617. Make an appointment with Lindsay and get on that road to better health. Thanks for being with us today for Your Health Matters. Have a great rest of your day.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.